So we left off in the previous year. We were trying to understand this idea that at least some poskim suggested that a dog or gush, a solid piece of food, always takes on the status of a kli rishon. We saw that there are different approaches in the Gedolei HaPoskim as to how far that idea goes. There are some who deny the idea entirely. Some, such as the Rama, said, there is no such concept of a dog or gush. But there were many, many poskim who did accept it based on the Tosfos Maseches Shabbos, about the Tefanos Mechamos and Tefanos Mekaros. And even within that sheet that we saw a little bit of a machlokes as to just how far that idea goes. So there are those who said that it goes as far as Belios at Kanvelo Yosef. It means that a Dover Gush can affect Belios like a Kli Rishon, but to say that it's Mevashel like a Kli Rishon, that can't be, that's impossible. And then we had others who said, no, Magen Avraham said, it's Mevashel. It does the trick, it does everything. Even Chayev Derais, if a Bishlon Shabbos is based on the Vagush, it's Mamish Dinuk Kli Rishon. So we pointed out that one of the Gedolei Acharon, the Minchas Yaakov, argued with the Magen Avraham and said, it can't be, it's impossible. How could anybody say that it's Mevashel if the Gemara says in our Sugya that it will not create Basmuchov Deraisa? Now the Gemara doesn't say it explicitly, but from the fact that the Gemara is searching high and low to try to find the scenario of Bishul Basmuchov at the table, and the best the Gemara can come up with is two guys eating out of pots. Why did the Gemara just talk about one guy eating a hamburger and one guy eating a slice of pizza, two dvarim gushim? What's wrong with that? So you see clear, says Michlis Yaakov, that Dava Gush does not create Bishul. Please, maybe, Rav Shiyadene, but Bishul for sure not. So how can we possibly defend the Magen Avraham? The Ram can't be against the Beferish Gemara. So Chacham Sofer, we spoke about yesterday, suggested that there's a difference of standard of Bishul for Hilchus Shabbos and for Bas Mecholof. Why is there such a difference? So when it comes to Hilchus Bishul B'Shabbos, we don't have to focus, we don't have to limit ourselves only on a Maisa Bishul. Tzli is also Chayim and Shabbos. Ofer is also Chayim and Shabbos. Tigun is Chayim and Shabbos. Frying, baking, roasting, cooking, anything, any and every food preparation, take raw food and make it edible through heat, that's Chayim on Shabbos. For Bas Mecholof, the buck stops here. Bas Mecholof has to be Bishul, Bishul, and only Bishul, that's it. And unless it's an absolute liquid, the cannot possibly be Bas Mecholof deraisa, and that's why the Vagush is going to fall short. What was the source of this idea? It was based on a Tosfos. Tosfos and Hedin Abdallah explained, how do we know that the word Ches Lamed Beis, or Sebastian Biba, Ches Lamed Beis Imo, how do we know that the word Ches Lamed Beis means Cholof, it doesn't mean Chelev? So the Gemara gave a very, very vague reason. The Gemara says, Derech Bishul Asutar. It can't possibly be Chelev, it must be Cholof, because of Derech Bishul Asutar. What does that mean? So, Tosfos explained, Rashi and Tosfos both explained, because the word Bishul means liquid. End of discussion. That's it. That is what the term means. If you open up a dictionary, look up the word bishul. Bishul means cooking with a liquid. And therefore, when the Torah says bishul, the Bas Mecholof, it cannot mean any more than bishul with a liquid. Now, conceptually, if that's true, so why does bishul b'Shabbos, why is bishul b'Shabbos different? Isn't the Malach on Shabbos also called bishul? So we can turn the question on its head. How do we have a right to differentiate between bishul and Bas only to liquids, whereas Bishul B'Shabbos applies to all things? After all, wasn't the Malacha Bishul in the Mishkan, Bishul, they used to cook up the Saman of the dyes, wasn't that Bishul, wasn't that with water, wasn't that with liquids? So if that's the case, why do we have a right to extrapolate from the Bishul of liquids vis-a-vis Hilchus Shabbos to extend it to frying, to baking, to roasting, etc.? Whereas and in Hilchus Bas Mecholof, hands are tied. Why is that discrepancy? So we know there has to be a difference. No question. The only way to save the Magen Avraham is to suggest that difference. But why conceptually is that true? So the answer to that question is something is a throwback to something that we actually spoke about. I'm not sure if we spoke about it this year. We definitely spoke about it last year. It was one of the early shiurim in Maseches Bava Kamma, where we spoke about the concept of avos and toldos. We know that in Hilchus Shabbos, there's a concept of avos. Avos are the main categories. The main categories of malacha. How do we exactly define what they are? So it clearly has something to do with Mishkan. That's no question. The reason Machlekes that we showed him, is it only Mishkan or is Mishkan plus? Are there other criteria? Just because something appeared in the Mishkan, does that automatically translate that it's an av malacha? Not necessarily, but it clearly has something to do with Mishkan. So there are 39 main categories of malacha, and when the Torah says lo sasak malacha, so it's as if the Torah said lo sachrosh, lo sizra, lo sebashel, lo sivne, lo sichtof, etc. Each one of the lamedes malachas are included in the issa derais of lo sasak malacha. But then the Gemara tells us that based on psukim, not only are avos aser, but toldos are aser as well in Hilchos Shabbos. That anything that's similar to an av, and again, even that phrase similar is a highly controversial question. That's a big, big, big machlekes of Rishonim. Those who were with us back when we went with Sechah Shabbos a couple of years ago, so we spoke about this a lot. There's a big machlekes of Rishonim. What defines similarity? Similarity defined by action, a similarity defined by end result, by purpose, as a combination of the two. A similarity depend on whether the malacha is being done to the same item, being done to a different item. A lot of nuances in the Gemaras and Rishonim to define with absolute accuracy what is a toldah, what's not a toldah. But the existence of toldah is not negotiable. That's in the Farish of Gemara. The Gemara is throughout Masechta Shabbos that there's a concept of an av malacha, there's a concept of a toldah. So there's a head category, which is the Ika Kavanas of Torah, and then there are other things that are included as subcategories of that av. The reason why we spoke a lot about this in Bava Kamma last year was because Avos and Toldos appear in Bava Kamma also. The Mishnah talks about the Av Avos Nezikin, and then the Gemara goes on to elaborate on each Av has multiple Toldos. So there is a big machlekes in Rishonim about that model of Avos and Toldos. Is that something that only exists by Shabbos? Or is that something that exists in Kol HaTorah Kula? Let's say in other Isurim, do you also have that model of Avos and Toldos? So there is a Tosos in Maseches Bechoros, but Tosfos talks about the Isser of Gozes, one of the Lamedes Malachas, is to shear wool, shear sheep on Shabbos. There's an Isser of Malacha called Gozes, and there's an Isser in the Torah, Lo Sogos B'chor Tzurech. If you have a firstborn animal, so you're not allowed to be Gozes, you're not allowed to shear it. So comes the Gemara, Maseches Bechor, at least the way Tosfos understood it, and says that the definition of Gozes for Shabbos purposes is different than the definition of Gozes for Lo Sogos B'chor Tzurech purposes. There could be certain activities that are included in the Isser of Shabbos and yet fall short in terms of Bechor. How do you explain that conceptually? How do you explain that? What does the word mean? Does the word Gozes mean X, Y, and Z? Does it not? So the Gemara discusses, instead of taking a shearing scissors and literally, you know, shearing the wool in a normal fashion, what if a person plucks feathers of a bird? Is that considered to be Gozes? It's not called Gozes. So at one point in the sugya, the Gemara draws a distinction between maybe for Shabbos purposes, yes, maybe for Bechor, it's hard to find the bird that's used to Bechor. That was just an example. That for the Isser of Gizas Kachim, so then certain actions may fall short. So Maya Manishtar, Ramanav Shach, look up a dictionary and see what does the word Gezes mean. If the word Gezes means including this action, then it should be also maybe Shabbos, maybe Kachim. So Tosu suggests the following theory. Tosu says that these actions that Chazal are talking about are not quite gezes itself. If you look up in the dictionary what the word gezes is a very, very specific connotation. It means taking your scissors and shearing the wool off a sheep. That's what the word gezes means. Elohim. There are other actions that are similar to gezes. They may fall into the category of toldos to gezes. And again, depending on what you think similarity means, based on action, based on result, a combination of the two, etc. But whatever standards you're using to define toldos, these actions may be toldos of gezes. So Tais the Becharius points out, it can be toldos of gezes from today till tomorrow. That impacts the Hilchos Shabbos, but it doesn't impact the Kol HaTorah Kula. Why is that? So Tais says, well, how do you know there are toldos and Shabbos altogether? We state there are toldos and Shabbos. So the Gemara in the seventh paragraph of Shabbos quotes a pasuk, quotes a drasha, avos achas behel rabos toldos keavos. So Tais writes, ein lechom alchidusha, it's a chidusha Torah that there are toldos. If not for this pasuk, I wouldn't in my wildest dreams have said there's a parasha of toldos. Because if the Torah says a word, why should I extend that word? If the Torah speaks about action X, why should I go and say, well, action Y is similar, it's the same thing, it's almost the same. If it doesn't mean X, so it doesn't mean X. So what gives me a right to start to run with toldos? The answer is, kach nimsel b'shabed, kach nimer aloch, and exeris akosov, that toldos exists. So Tosa says, yeah, the Gzeres HaKosel was said in Hilchos Shabbos, it wasn't said in other areas of Halacha. So Tosa's primary sheet throughout Shas is that Toldos are Gevaldik HaChiddush in Hilchos Shabbos, but they have zero relevance outside of Shabbos. And there is a sheet of Mekubetzes on the Beis Maseches Bava Kamma that quotes from one of the Rishonim, the Mahari Katz. I don't know who he was, I'm not even sure what his first name was. Like, all I can say is that he was a Kohen. Katz is Kohen, Rosh Hashanah is a Kohen Tzedek. So the sheet of Mekubetzes quotes from one of the Rishonim from the Mahari Katz, who says the exact opposite of Tosfos. The Merkat says that, of course, there are toldos in Kol Torah Kula. Avada and Avada, Avasik toldos, not just in Shabbos, in other areas of Allah as well. Why does the Gemara need a pasuk to tell me that toldos are Avas and Shabbos? So the Merkat says the exact opposite of Tosfos. The Merkat says that I would have thought that in Shabbos, toldos are not Avas. I would have made a case to say that in Shabbos, everything has to be perfect replica of Mishkan. Mishkan, Mishkan, Mishkan. If it's not exactly what happened in the Mishkan, you're not going to be chayav. So that svara of Mikdash, of Mishkan, that model of Mishkan, is a svara for character. It's a svara to exclude toldos. Kamash Velon, that toldos are ki'avos even in Shabbos. Not just the Kol Torah Kula. Kol Torah Kula says the Marikatz, I don't even need a posuk to tell me that toldos are ki'avos. I need a posuk in Shabbos, lest I would have mistakenly thought that toldos were excluded because they're not similar to Mishkan. So it comes out, the Gedolia Rishayim, the Tosfos and the Arikatz have two radically different approaches to what a take is on toldos in other areas of Halacha outside of Shabbos. According to Tosfos, toldos don't even, not even on the radar screen outside of Shabbos. Toldos are a chiddush haTorah, never to be extrapolated to any other area chutz b'Shabbos. And the Arikatz says, forkert, toldos comes as a push of the svar. Anybody could have figured this out on my own. The only reason why I need a pasuk is to negate a mistaken havamina, lest I think Shabbos doesn't include toldos. So based on this machlokes, now let's go back to our model of Bishul. We're having Chassam Sofer, Gedolei Haredim, was suggesting for us the following model, that is Dovah Gush a problem of Bishul or not? So the answer to that question is, well, is Tzli a problem of Bishul? Dovah Gush is basically Tzli. What Dovah Gush basically means is, you're taking a hot hamburger, you're taking a hot piece of cheese, and you're touching them to one another. What you're doing effectively is an act of Tzli rather than an act of Bishul. So I'll turn the question on you. You asked me, is Dovah Gush an act of Bishul? So the answer is, well, is Tzli an act of Bishul? And what's the answer to that question? So the answer to that question is that Shabbos and Bas Mechalov probably part ways. How could that be? How could they have different definitions? So the answer is, Tzli is not Bishul, but it's a told of Bishul. It's not Bishul. If you look up in the dictionary, define the word Bishul, the word Bishul is defined as requiring a liquid. Now you want to extrapolate, you want to make a whole Haggadah, you want to make a story that this action is a told of Bishul. Tzli is accomplishing the same as Bishul. You're taking raw food, exposing it to fire, making it edible. It's very, very similar. I think it has all the similarities of Bishul. I think it meets the criteria of toldos. So Tosfos would say, Shkoyach, it meets all the criteria of toldos. And therefore, Shabbos Yechayev, Abba Bas Mechalov Yechayev, because Bas Mechalov is Kol Tarkul with Shai Dini HaTorah, and Shai Dini HaTorah are not subject to the parish of toldos or ki'avos. So this background of this Tosfos Yechayev would be an excellent way to understand what this Chassam Sofer is talking about, to explaining this phenomena in terms of how could we have the Magen Avraham and not be against Agamar. So again, we're just learning Agamar. We're just learning simply Agamar. Agamar is talking about Klimishin and Klisheni. Agamar and Chulin is clearly indicating that Dovah Gush is not called the Klimishon, because if it was, then the Gemara should have given it as the easy solution to the Deraisa. So clearly, at least the Bas Mechalov Dovah Gush is a nothing. The question is, what conclusion can we draw? So some posts can drew the conclusion, like the Ramad drew the conclusion, that Dovah Gush doesn't exist b'chol. There's no such thing. We made it up entirely. Dovah Gush. There's no such entity called Dovah Gush. If it's in a cliche, it's a cliche. No matter what, solid liquid's all the same. That's the easiest conclusion. You want to salvage the idea of Dovah Gush, like this, the Heter said, and at least it creates beliefs without. That per se is not against Agamara. Beliefs without Bishul. And say that it even creates Bishul. So some service says the buck stops here. You can go that extra mile in Shabbos, but even you, the Magen Avraham, must concede the Bas Mechalov doesn't create Bishul Deraisa. And how do you explain away that phenomena? It's based on this idea that toldos are included in Shabbos, not in Kol Torah Kula, and Tzli, and by extension, the Magush, is nothing more than a toldo. However, this idea that we're suggesting now that ultimately the reason why the Vagush fails us in Uvas Bas Mechalov is because there's no liquid. And liquid is chayk v'layavor, not negotiable. Liquid is an absolute necessity in order to be called the Iker Isser of Bishul, to be called an Av. It has to have liquid. Who told us that? Where do we get that idea from? We got it right out of the Tosfos. We got it out of the Tosfos Sanhedrin yesterday. the Tosfos explained, how did Chazal know that Ches Tam Beis is not Chelev? So the Gemara says, they knew it because otherwise, Derech B'Shlosser Torah. And Derech B'Shlosser Torah means liquid versus solids. So that's all true. Everything we've been saying up to now is true, assuming that Tosfos pshat is the correct pshat in the Gemara. But there is an alternate pshat in that Gemara, Masechet Sanhedrin. There is a totally and completely different way of reading that Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin that will undermine everything we've said. So let's go back to that Gemara for a minute, back to that Tosfos for a minute, because everything we're saying is hinging on the truth of that statement. Everything we're holding on to dear life for this distinction that Bishul Asat Slimut the Rebbe Asa B'Cholov, by far not agreed upon by everybody. So let's go back to the Gemara, the sixth of the Maamar Kamos for a second. The Gemara is discussing what the word Ches Tam Beis really means. So on the one hand, we have a halachic pronunciation to it. We think that we pronounce it as cholev, which basically means cholov. On the other hand, it's spelled Ches Tam Beis, which could equally mean chelev. So how do you know which is right? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you which is right. I'll tell you that the halach is clearly the way we pronounce it. It would be foolish to say that Ches Tam Beis means chelev. Why? It's on the sixth in Ramah Kamos, the second line, El Amar Bach Abay Daviga, Amakra, Lo Sevash Olibi, Derech Bishul Asher Torah. Those four words, which have come up so many times, if we were thinking about how many times we've said those words this year, Derech Mishlo Sotaira, that's the source, says Rabbi Chaim Ravika, that is the absolute non-negotiable source that Ches Tam Beis can't mean Chalev. How does that prove anything? So Rashi and Tosfos plugged in, if it would have been Chalev, it wouldn't have been called Bishul, it would have been called something else. So comes Tosfos and says, you know what, there's an alternate pshat to recommend. There's a totally different way of reading the word. Let's go back to the seventh of the Ramah Kamos now. To the second line in Tosfos, V'yesh B'farshim. Second line in Tosfos, middle line, V'yesh B'farshim. Derech Bishul Asar Torah, the below Bishul Shari, V'yede Bishul Asar, L'afugin Chaylev, the below Hachi Asar, says the V'yesh B'farshim, the second pshat in Tosfos. You know what Derech Bishul Asar Torah means? It's not even addressing the process of cooking versus roasting versus frying. That's not even the time. We totally misread the Gemara. But the phrase Derech Bishul Asar Torah means the Chetza of Basa B'Cholov that the Torah is addressing is clearly something that is coming into existence. Be'isser, the reason why this Chetza is Asar is because it's Basar plus Ches Tam Beis. That's the reason why it's Asar, implying that if it wouldn't have been the two ingredients mixed together, cooked together, everything would have been hunky-dory. Everything would have been great. Everything would have been, you could have eaten it for dinner tonight. It's the combination of Lo Sevashel, again, Lo Sevashel, Kach Nemar Loch Mersina, Sevashel means Losh and Achila, three times, Lo Sevashel, Bibachol of Imai. The Torah is saying, don't you dare and eat Basa Becholov, Shen Esvashel B'Yachad. Clearly, clearly implying that if they weren't Esvashel B'Yachad, so then, all bets are off. That's not Basa B'Cholov. If it's alone, it's Basa B'Yachad, so then that is not considered, that's not the Basa B'Cholov She'asra Torah, because each ingredient is a heter ingredient. The implication of the Torah is the combination is a problem. Each ingredient separately is mutter. Really? If Ches Tam Beis was Chelev, you could tell a person, eat your Chelev for dinner, and it's a chorus to eat Chelev. So from the fact that the Torah highlights that the only reason why this Chefza has now become prohibited to be eaten is because it was cooked together, implying that each ingredient separately was mutter, that makes sense if Ches Tam Beis is cholov, milk is kosher, meat is kosher. Each one could separately be consumed. You combine them together, you have a problem. But if Ches Tam Beis meant chelev, so then how can the Torah say, derech bishlos, how can the Torah say, don't cook together? It's also even without cooking it together. That's a radically different pshat of Gemara. If that's what Derech Bishul Asar Torah means, to highlight that the Isser is created to Bishul not through separate ingredients, if that's the case, so then that has nothing to do with our sugya. That has absolutely zero impact on our discussion of Tzli versus Bishul versus Tigun versus Fry versus the Bagushas. Zero impact to use that on our sugya. So when all the dust settles, what do we know about Dava Gush? Do we know anything about Dava Gush? So the only thing we know with certainty about the Vagush is that it can create Basbuchov deraisa. That we're fairly comfortable in assuming, because the Gemara, in searching for a case of Basbuchov deraisa, never introduced that possibility, which would have been so much easier than having two guys eating out of pots on the same table. So the Pashas Advarim is that at least we know for a fact that there's no Bishul Basmuch of Deraisa on it. Do we know Bishul Shabbos? Not really. Do we know Bli? Not really. We don't really know much. Is there any other Gemara, any other Maamar Chazal that impacts on the Ragush? The best we had was a Tosfos. Nothing bad about a Tosfos. The Tosfos is still not a Gemara. So the best we had, the greatest source we had for the idea of the Ragush, which started this whole ball rolling, was the Yisrael Hetnes Diyuk from Tosfos. But Tosfos suggested that the reason why there's a difference between Klavish and Kisheni is the Faras Bechamos versus Bekaros. If that's the case, Chamos versus Bekaros, there's a difference between the two. So wait a second. Maybe that can introduce us to the parasha of Davar Gush. Do we have anything more than that? Anything more explicit in Chazal? So this is a Gemara in the 8th of the Maamar Kamos, Chulin Kufir Aleph and Beis, a critical Gemara in Basar B'Cholov. I don't know whether we're going to get to this actual sugya in terms of the shiurim now, even though we're definitely going significantly longer in the season than we've ever gone before. I never remember Kolboko going into July, but I have a feeling that even if we continue into August, we're not going to make it to the sugya because we're going to probably have to start the Pesachim shiurim soon, whenever YU starts in the end of August. So, but at least we'll get a touch. Maybe, you never know. Maybe we'll still hop around into the sugya at some point. But let's at least extract from this sugya what we do need for our purposes. It's a very, very famous sugya in Masechet Chulin. Itmar, the 8th of the Maamar Kamos, Kufi Alfa Beis, Itmar. Da'agim sha'alu b'ka'ara. If I have fish that were on a plate, now I just have to add one piece of information. Everything's hot. So I have fish that are on a hot plate. Now there's a little bit of other information I have to add, that on this hot plate just a few minutes earlier was a hot piece of meat. So I took a hot dog, a hamburger, a hot piece of chicken, and I put it on a plate. So presumably there were blias that went from this hot piece of food onto the plate. It's blias. It's not sort of its own. It's cham. Some of its heat that's going. So the fleishik, the piece of chicken, the piece of meat, some blias went into the plate. So the plate basically just became a fleishik plate, so to speak, because it has blias inside. What do I do now? Now I take a piece of hot fish. I took off the chicken, I washed off the plate, and now the shmoos board. 5 minutes later, I put a hot piece of fish onto this plate. Now what? So I take now a hot piece of fish onto the same plate that was just used a few minutes before. It's called Da'agim Sha'ol B'Ka'ara. And now I have the following question. Yes, I want to know, can I eat this fish with bilchiks? Did this fish just become flesh? Why? Because if you think about it, there was a blia from the chicken that went into the plate, and then there was a subsequent blia that went out of the plate into the fish. So it's gone once, goes twice, but it's still blias. The blias are traveling in all directions. So they went from the meat into the plate, and from the plate into the fish. So I have blias, I have meat inside this fish. So we're not addressing the issue of is it healthy, not healthy. That's a whole different issue. They said there are bonds eating fish and meat together. That's not a sugi right now. So I want to know, do I have blias? Do I have a lachik tam, so to speak, of meat inside this fish that would prohibit me from eating this fish together with milk? So Rav Amar Asa Lachem B'Kusach. So Rav says, yep, you're not allowed to. Rav says it's also to eat this fish together with Kusach. Kusach is a dairy dish. It was like a yogurt kind of a dish that was very very common in the days of Chazal. The Gemara talks about Kusach both in Chulin vis-a-vis Milchiks and in Psochem. I guess this is the bridge between the 2 years of Masechtas. That in Psochem, the Gemara in the third paragraph talks about Kusach, was one of the ingredients of Kusach was bread. So it was a mixture of bread with milk, with salt, sounds like a delicious mix. It was really a dip, like a dairy kind of a sour cream kind of a dip. So here we're dealing with it from the Basar B'Cholov angle. So I want to know the mice. I have my fish that has a supposed blias of fleishiks, because the blia went into the car, out of the car, back into the fish. Can I eat it with milk? So Rav said, no, it's considered to be fleishiks. Shmuel said, it's okay. Rav also knows in Tamu. Amba went from the meat into the plate, from the plate into the fish, is still intact, and therefore it's like eating meat and milk together. Again, there are ice that's not going to be, and there are bishul that I understand, but with the Rabbanon, the same way that with the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to take a slice of salami and put a slice of cheese on it and eat it together, that's also with the Rabbanon, that's called the Chilus Bas B'Cholov B'Yachad, even if it's tzadim, it's not derech bishul. So two, to eat the piece of fish together with your yogurt dish would be a violation of that issa derabban of eating bosar, tam bosar, together with cholov. Ushmul amam, what the Shmuel says, everything's fine. Why? Nesin tam by nesin tam. Shmuel says, this is not nesin tam anymore. Shmuel said, this is twice removed. This is what we call nesin tam by nesin tam, or an alingo, the person called nat by nat. It saves a lot of time rather than saying nesin tam by nesin tam, we just call nat by nat. Nesin tam by nesin tam. Shmuel has a chiddush. Shmuel says, that we don't view this as an Asidus Tam of a fleshes inside the fish, but rather we say this Tam has traveled twice. It traveled from the chicken to the plate, that's one travel, and then another, a return trip, a round trip back into the fish, that's already too far removed. Not by not, that's not a problem. That's not a Asidus Tam, and therefore this fish remains fire, but it's nothing wrong with eating this fish together with the legs. Now, why one should say like Rav and like Shmuel is a whole story, and again, it's hard for us to do justice to the sugi right now. It's a very, very yisodistic sugi. It was most b'chol of why not by not should not be mutter, but kach nechmo gedoli amaroyim Rav and Shmuel is there kach not by not. So come to Pesach and say, wait a second, hold the phone, stop for a second, forget about not by not. How are there any blias whatsoever? Where were the blias? The bleas were, where was the original blea that's potentially causing problems? That I took a piece of hot chicken and put it onto a plate. Ah, bleas. Where's the bleas? It's a car, it's a plate, it's not a pot. Isn't this all a klisheni? Isn't klisheni ain't a mafliya? Aren't there no bleas in klishenis? So truth to be told, some Rishonim said, what do you mean no bleas in klisheni? We spoke about this stuff like this in the past. According to many Rishonim, there's no bishul in klisheni, but bleas there are. So if you hold that there are bleas in a klisheni, then the question is the moot question. But if you go down the route from Rambam and others who say that there are in fact no bleas in a klisheni, so then where were the bleas? The Gemara is pilkling about, is it a double bleas, a double tam, is the tam in weekend and gone once, twice, that whole machleg is Rav Shmuel, by nice and tam, by nice and tam. Forget about nice and tam, by nice and tam. There's nothing here. Everything is cold, or halachically cold, because everything is a klisheni. So what happened? So come a group of poskim and say, the answer is very simple. This is a davar gush. This piece of meat, is a hot piece of meat, a chunk of meat, went from the pot onto the plate. End of the story. Now when you take off the piece of meat, you wash off the plate, and you take a hot piece of fish, good chunk of big, a good slice of salmon, and you put it onto the plate, so it's vayter, davar gush. So some poskim say, from this gemara is the source of davar gush. This chumrah of a gush is treated like a kli rishon liyolim vod, as long as it's hot. I don't need a Tyson Shabbos and the Chanas Bechamos to tell me it. It's munach in this gemara, it's beferish in this gemara. Otherwise, this gemara doesn't make any sense. So how would one refute this raya? If you go down the root of the Ramah, when the Ramah was the biggest non-believer of a gush, the Ramah says, the gush, that's not mavashal, the mavli, never heard of such a thing. The Ramah was the biggest mankel, he said, Lisheni ain't a mavashal, ain't a mavliya, and everything the gush is a garnish. Nothing matters. So how did the Ramah learn shot in this gemara?
The fish is himself.
Yep. So what?
Fish is sakana. It's not an issue of bishul.
No. The gemara's talking about chalav. The gemara's talking about basm chalav. The gemara's talking about taking the fish which have a bliya of meat and eating it pakusa. There's a secondary sugya which also appears here. There's a secondary sugya of the sakana issue. That's a whole other issue. But here the gemara is clearly talking about basm chalav. So where are the bleas? So the Ramah says that's exactly where the bleas are. Isn't that a klisheni? The relationship between that piece of chicken, that piece of meat that ended up on the plate, that's not klisheni. That's what's called in halacha, a whole new topic, which we haven't even started yet, coming around the bend, next couple of sugyas, called, this is iroi klivishon. You're taking something out of a klivishon and in a sense pouring it into a klisheni. Let's say to Marshall, if I take a tea kettle, anyone under the age of 25 doesn't know what a tea kettle is. You'll start tea. Take a tea kettle. And I pour the water out of a tea kettle. And that water hits a cup. What is that? Is that klirisha or is that klisheni? So the answer is, once it's in the cup, once it's been received in the cup, it's a klisheni. And now if I want to cook subsequently, we can discuss klisheni. But the process of pouring, that's not yet klisheni. That's called iroi klirishon. That's called iroi. That's a loaded, loaded top. That's a major machlekes of Rishonim. Hopefully, going to be one of the next Mamre Kodmos is the status, the unique status of iroi klirishon. Says the Ramah, when I take a hot piece of chicken, where's it coming from? It's exiting a pot. When I take it out of a pot and I place it onto a plate, so that is called iroi. That's not called klisheni. Once it's in the plate already, and now I want to discuss, let's say, for example, I poured my hot water into a cup, and now I stick a spoon into that cup, so that's a klisheni shayla. Once the water's already landed. when the water is in transit, or in this case, where the piece of chicken or the piece of meat is in transit, it's coming out of a kli rishon onto a kli sheni. At the when it makes contact, that's not yet kli sheni. That's still called kli rishon. That's an irik kli rishon to kishayla. So says the Ramah, well, it's nothing to do with that with davar gush. Nothing to do with davar gush. This would be true if it was a davar lach. Also, would be a liquid. Would be the same story. This is an irik, not a davar gush. So at the end of the day, this gemara chulin kufir alef says the Ramah has no bearing on the topic either. So when all the dust settles, is there any Gemara, any Rishon, anyone who says Pem Mole, the Davar Gush exists, the concept of Davar Gush exists? Not really. A possible deed from Agamara, a refutation. A possible deed from Tysus and Shabbos, maybe, and maybe no, others did accept the Tysus and Shabbos. So the earliest sources that we have to accept the idea of the Davar Gush is an Issa Behetar. Issa Behetar is from the end period of the Rishonim. It was the Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshet. Trumas Hadeshet was on the borderline end of Rishonim, early Acharonim, so about the 1400s. So the Talmud of Trumas Hadeshet, Issa Behetar, was the first one, at least that I know in print, who introduces the idea of Davar Gush. It's become a very, very popular topic over the years that the Ramah refuted it and others accepted it, and even when you accept it, is it only for Bliyas and even for Bishul? The Magen Avraham took it even as far as Bishul B'Shabbos. The Mechas Yachav Chassam Sofer stopped it in its tracks and says Shabbos yeah, Bas B'Cholov no. So the last 500-600 years, Davar Gush has become a very, very, no pun intended, very hot topic, a major, major topic, both in terms of Bas B'Cholov and Bliyas and Bishul and Shabbos. It's become a very, very popular topic. But in terms of Gemaras, there's no Gemara Pemoli that says it. If anything, Agamar seems to ignore it. And the Gemara in Chulin Kufiyat Aleph may not support it. Tosfos and Shabbos, that's only one approach to Kli Rishon versus Kli Sheni, may or may not be indicating something about it, not 100% clear. So Davar Gush, going to one extreme, doesn't exist. Going to the other extreme, it exists and even creates Bishul, at least for Shabbos. Going to the middle ground, Bliyas, yeah, Bishul, no. So we've finished the first half of this sugya. This sugya was called Hagdoras Kli Rishon Kli Sheni. Defining, last sugya was, why there's a difference between the two, and now we've been trying to define what precisely one is, what the other one is. So hopefully, Mitzvah Shem on Friday, we have to pick up to the other aspect of defining, not the issue based of Davar Gush, but the issue of ladles, of sticking a kli into a kli rishon. What does that kli become? Is that vayt to become a kli rishon, or does that somehow transform to become a kli sheni? That's a whole nother world. So that's going to be a whole nother topic that we'll have to discuss. But sure, the second half of this sugya, in terms of being magdir, defining properly what precisely is a kli rishon, what precisely is a kli sheni. Okay? Wish everybody have a good day. The there's no Wednesday night shiur tonight. That Wednesday night shiur is actually going to be tomorrow, not a minute to Shem, called the Thursday night shiur for this week. Same time at 9:15. Okay?
I'll talk to you. Wait, shiur tonight, tomorrow night or tonight?
No, remember we said the shiur is not
tomorrow
that,
night.
Tomorrow night, right. Tomorrow night, right. The Wednesday night shiur is Thursday night this week, right.
Okay, and Rebbe, you'll send me...
yeah, send me a topic in Makoros. I have to take it. Hopefully you'll let it to you.